Blog Talk Radio.
Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams, your partners in raising phenomenal children.
Okay, Lord have mercy. Somebody please tell us if y'all can hear us out there. Is the mic on? Is the mic not on? I don't know.
Facebook Live. Hey guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so excited to be here. This is the Mommy Chronicles,
yes.
Your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.
Yes.
And I'm Denise Davis May.
And I'm Tanya Scott Williams.
And we are here today with a bunch of information. We're excited about the holidays coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have plans for next week.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. I'm going to visit my sister, my family down in Florida.
Yeah.
So my precious daughter and I are going to load up the car on Tuesday and head south.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to be hanging out for, thank you, Tara. I'm glad we're not sideways today.
It's always a struggle. It's always a struggle.
We are going to be traveling up to Atlanta for a few days to hang out with some of my besties, my baby's godparents, and we'll hang out there for a little while and then come on back to do a small family Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're excited about the impending holidays and celebrations of Kwanzaa Christmas, and so we're excited about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about our interview that we had about a month ago.
Oh, guys,
it was so awesome.
Mm-hmm. With Tank and the Bangas. Now, if you haven't heard the last podcast, Denise was traveling, so I had to hold down the fort all by myself. But I was able to upload the interview from that meetup with Tank and the Bangas at Booker T. Washington Magnet High School.
Mm-hmm.
It was shortly after they did a master class with the students, not just from BTW, actually there were students from all over the city who could have registered to come and sit in with them. And I understand it was a fantastic master class. And I know we certainly enjoyed the interview with them afterwards.
Oh,
I could just eat them up. And
they're so
talented.
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
So sweet. And they're kids.
Yes.
Forget that they're kids. They're young adults.
Listen, when I was uploading that interview later, when I was producing the show, and I was listening to the advice that they were giving,
mm-hmm.
I was writing some of that stuff down. I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, you can see how it's come through them, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it's
mm-hmm.
and it's framing the way that they look at the world and just the whole way that they move. I was like, yes.
With freedom.
Yeah.
Right?
They're
so free.
And so happy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
so you can tell we did not like them at all.
We are in love with Tank and all of the Bangas.
Yes, they were. So if you haven't heard that show, you can look back through the archives on the website here and pull that up, I believe,
mm-hmm.
on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, go to Facebook to find it on the Mommy Chronicles Facebook page and listen to it there. I don't think it's on the Blog Talk. I couldn't upload it.
Okay.
So it's just on Facebook.
Okay.
We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
That's when we need more sponsors.
Yeah.
Sponsors
yeah.
will open up more doors for us. And we were very grateful that we had a sponsor for the previous shows,
mm-hmm.
Johnny Sankey with Keller Williams Realty. But the door is open. As the pastor at the church in Tuskegee always says, is there one today? Is there one?
Will you be among that number?
So come on down.
Yeah, just shoot us an email at mommychronicles2014@gmail.com to let us know whether you're interested in sponsoring an episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you about what that looks like.
Okay.
And so we have a lot of things coming up for kids and parents. There's
exactly.
an ACT on December 9th
mm-hmm.
in our area, and
right.
I guess that's a national date, right?
I believe so.
And so just get as much preparation as you can for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a strategy game. And so just do what you can, where you can. There are tons of free resources
mm-hmm.
for ACT prep.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ACT boot camp, a cram session
yes.
here in the Montgomery area.
Mm-hmm.
If you just Google ACT preparation, free or low cost, you should be able to find tons of information about those sorts of activities. Locally, Pilgrim Rest
has a
does a wonderful program.
Their boot camp starts over the summer at but you have to register in the spring.
Right.
And they'll have more information to come out, but certainly call Pilgrim Rest to get more information about it. Ms. Carolyn Thomas is one of the facilitators. In fact, I think she's one of the founders of the program,
mm-hmm,
and they've
mm-hmm.
been doing it about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, at least.
And my daughter did it this past summer, and when I say it's intense, but those parents, those teachers, those who are facilitating that course, they really care about those kids, and they are not playing.
And it's data-driven.
Yes, it is. It is. Oh, my gosh. They are big on strategy and all of those things, and they are highly skilled in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, please look them up. And there's one coming up in Lowndes County, is it?
No, it's in Elmore County.
Elmore County.
At Elmore County High School. There's a $25 fee. We'll post some of this information on the Mommy Chronicles Facebook page, but we just want to make sure that parents are getting this information and recognize that there's help out there. If you're not capable, if you don't have the patience like me to sit down and review ACT preparation with your child without going to jail, then you might want to use the other resources that are out there. Hey, Tracy. Hey, Janet.
Hi.
Thanks, Janet. We love you.
Yeah. Hello.
And so, so just get whatever information you can get. But we're going to jump into our topic.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to give you a little disclaimer, as Denise said, to our Facebook folks who were with us when we first started out. Today's topic may be inappropriate for some audiences, and we ask that you take precautions right now to shield the young ones' ears before we dive into the discussion. While the topic is actually about teens, we're discussing teens and the growing pressures that girls in particular have about performing intimate acts. It's something that you might want to listen to on your own, or better yet, parental discretion is advised.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. And so we've been talking probably over the last few months just about, as both of us have teenagers in high school, the ways in which parents and their values might impact how folks talk about sex. Sex is a word that you need to be able to say to your children. I shared with Tanya a couple of years ago, I went to this training on safe sex, and the trainer couldn't say sex or wouldn't say sex. She just kept saying, when you do it, or when you... I was thinking, my goodness, if you can't say sex, you really don't need to be teaching about sex
mm-hmm.
and safer sex practices with teens. And so I looked at some of the data, and there was a study in 2015 or 16 where they reported on sexual activity and contraception use among teenagers in the U.S., and they found that 81% of teen girls use some type of contraception when they first had intercourse, which is an increase, but they also found that fewer than 60% of high school students who are sexually active report actively using condoms during their most recent
Ooh.
Sexual intercourse. So the reality is that there are teens who are having sex.
Mm.
And if you don't talk to your teens and teens in your communities and teens in your faith-based institutions and teens that you – I'm not going to stop people's teens on the street today. Yeah.
Mm, she has done things like that.
But if you cannot talk with them, you are placing your child at risk
right.
of participating in acts uneducated and without knowledge that could save their lives. So we want to kind of talk about the two talks, right? There is the one talk that is the mechanics. You know, people refer to it as the birds and the bees.
Right.
What it is, what purpose it serves
right.
mechanically.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the navigation, right? How you manage it. How you manage the emotions related
yes,
to it,
okay.
how you connect to what you're feeling, especially with new teens going through pubescence where they don't really understand the new feelings they're having, the mm-hmm. tinglings, the,
exactly.
you know, the attraction and how to navigate that. So we want to just talk about that second talk.
Mm.
Have you had the second talk, the navigation talk with your children? And we know a lot of parents who haven't had the first one.
Mm.
You know, there are children 15 and 16, and you talk with them, and they say, well, you know, my parents just presume I know. They think I know. Or girls who say, well, my mom just tells me to keep my legs closed.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Right?
Oh my goodness, yes.
And so it's important to begin to think through how we have those discussions and some of the challenges we've had in entering into those discussions with our children. Sex has remained stable over the last decade. So in terms of children entering into having their first intercourse experience, it hasn't increased significantly. It's remained stable.
So what's the age when you say
it's
stable?
So it looks like 15
okay.
Is the typical age of girls experiencing their first time sexual act.
Okay.
Which doesn't necessarily mean vaginal intercourse.
Okay, very good.
Now,
you said that. Mm-hmm.
There is a range, right, in that there is a percentage of about 20% of children between the ages of 11 and 15 who have been engaging in other forms of sexual activity, whether it is, and it's highly related to, oral sex,
mm-hmm.
Because so many people believe that oral sex isn't sex.
It's interesting. And in fact, Tracy, we're glad that you're on with us today, and thank you for the compliment there. But it's actually because of something that Denise saw posted on your Facebook page that brought us back to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as she said, we'd already planned to have this conversation at one point, but she was like, let's bump the show that we had scheduled for this week and dive right into that. And so glad that you posted that, because that whole thing, that isn't really sex. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And children who have not had the advice of their parents or some other concerned adult to explain that to them find themselves making decisions and thinking that they aren't having sex,
mm-hmm.
but they really are.
And we've had two or three episodes in the city in public schools where
mm-hmm.
young people have been exposed as having had various forms of sexual contact on the school property, and parents are surprised when they find out that their children were involved or engaged in this activity, because of course it couldn't be my child, right?
Right.
But if you haven't had these discussions, then certainly it could be. And specifically the article
mm-hmm.
That Tracy posted.
Exactly. It's Sex Before Kissing, How 15-Year-Old Girls Are Dealing with Porn-Obsessed Boys. And I suggest that you go to this website to pull up this entire article, fightthenewdrug.org/sexbeforekissing, 15-year-old girls dealing with porn-obsessed boys. Please find it online. It's a pretty long article, but it's worth the read.
Mm-hmm.
And I highlighted some parts in here. I should have just highlighted the whole thing, because I was like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we know, because anyway, let me not get off track, because I can do that sometimes. But this one part here, in particular, seeing porn, it has an impact, obviously, on teens. And then many girls seem cut off from their own sense of pleasure or intimacy,
mm-hmm.
because boys are finding. Stop laughing at me. Boys are getting their direction from things they can easily find on their phones. Let's think about how many times our kids may go to sleep with their phones in the bed with them. I mean, pretty much everybody does that these days. If not in the bed, right beside the bed. And they have access to all kinds of stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to admit, the porn industry has made it very convenient
mm-hmm.
for you to find their material.
Mm-hmm.
So girls, having been pressured by boys to perform such acts because it's not sex,
mm-hmm.
as far as they're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them haven't even kissed,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're feeling cut off from their own sense of pleasure or intimacy, and the main marker of a quote-unquote good sexual encounter is only if he enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And we might even suggest that extends into adulthood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tracy. She's put up a resource, and we'll post that on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
ScarletTeen.com. I need to look at it first before we post it, but we'll look at it and post it on our website. The challenge, though, is that kind of extends. That's a part of our culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
That male pleasure is primary. And so we talk about that as it relates to sex. And so
right.
we talk about that, we promote that, and so it's not far-fetched for girls to believe that. But I think it's important to also, because that article is a little it's a little, it's not evenly keeled, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is that porn, it's not just porn in the way we understand porn.
Okay.
There is imagery all over. There's imagery in video games.
Oh,
right,
yeah. Okay.
Where the women look a particular way,
scantily clad,
and they're scantily clad, and it represents the porn image of women,
mm-hmm.
right? Even in these games and that young men and boys play,
right.
Despite the fact that it's coded mature,
right?
I've seen people buying these games with their children or for their children in the various box stores. So clearly young people are being exposed in more ways than just traditional pornography. That's important. The imagery exists in many places. It exists in cartoons and in the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to recognize that this imagery is all over. Then they translate those images into pornography,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So you have cartoon figures in pornography, and kids can have access to that fairly easily. And so both boys and girls are victims of this because boys are being exposed to unrealistic images of womanhood,
mm-hmm.
right? Girls have unrealistic expectations of how they should be intimate with both boys and whomever,
right?
And so they are both victimized. And when we don't talk to our children, then we leave it up to whomever or wherever they get this information to help them decide, one, what's attractive, two, who they're attracted to, and three, how they think that person proves that they're reciprocating attraction.
All these levels,
mm-hmm.
all these levels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if we aren't talking to our kids, I remember that there was one time when I actually called you up because I was at that, you know, I've talked to my child about these types of things, and Lydia, I hope you're not listening because you're going to be like, I can't believe you're talking about that. But anyway, from the time she was young, because I wanted to make sure that I was involved and using the correct language for
mm-hmm.
her and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I hit this moment when I was having a challenge talking about the really detailed things, and I called you up and talked to you about it at one time, and you pretty much said to me, you just need to, well, paraphrasing, you just need to say it.
Yeah, don't say what I said.
Right. You just need to say it. And I'm a parent who, you know, prides themselves on providing resources, material in whatever form, in a way that she can hear it and understand it, and, of course, always being available. But I struggled
mm-hmm.
to have some of those conversations because, you know, it's my baby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I didn't prepare her,
she would get it from somewhere.
Oh, okay.
And they get a lot of information.
Yes, yes.
They get so much information from their peers.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it is incorrect,
mm-hmm.
But that doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's information, and they have it, and they act on it. It's important for us to think about some of the terrains that these children have to navigate in high school and in middle school. I hate to just kind of skip to high school because our kids are in high school. It starts in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
frankly. But in middle school, there's like an explosion,
oh,
right?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, it starts in nursery school. I seriously,
mm-hmm.
I have had someone recently tell me about a situation that they observed in a child care facility, and these are 3-year-olds, right, mimicking sex acts on each other,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're seeing it,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's on media. We don't think children are paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
People used to laugh at me because my daughter hasn't yet seen a Tyler Perry movie.
Okay.
Like yet,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Mama, everyone in the class has seen her. But there are things, images, that if your brain can't quite conceptualize it, you'll add some things
yeah.
that, you know, aren't really. So, and that's over the top,
mm-hmm.
I admit.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that, you know, she hasn't gone to rated R movies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just turned 15. While several of her friends have,
right.
There are images that I want to be able to process with her before she actually gets exposed to these things. And so we have to think about the fact that our high schoolers and middle schoolers in particular are navigating terrains that we can't even conceive. It's not so different in context than it was 25 years ago. But it is certainly different in content.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Okay, there's some information that they have that they've been exposed to that we just didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
They have ready access to media in ways that we didn't have. They can get traditional and non-traditional format people, you know, they understand sexual orientation in a way that we never did.
Yes.
They understand sexual, they know about or have been exposed to
mm-hmm.
sexual exploration in a way that we never did. And if it happened, it was the extreme,
right?
Mm-hmm. There were the two or three people who were a little more advanced than everyone else. But
right.
now it's common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't allow information like that to come from other folks.
Any channel out there.
Right.
Kendra, thank you so much for joining us. We see you there on Facebook Live. And, yes, she says that it does start in preschool,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that information overwhelming them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, they get to a point where they think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have information, but what do they do with that information?
I have information about that laptop. I still don't know how it works.
Okay.
Right? And,
okay.
And that's the point,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
It's about recognizing that we have to help them understand how it works.
Especially the emotions attached
mm-hmm.
to it.
Which is the difference, which is why while I recognize preschool and elementary school, Kendra, and while I recognize that,
mm-hmm.
Tanya, the hormonal differences and changes that occur during middle school
mm-hmm.
add another layer.
Yes.
See, we're talking about behavior in preschool and elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about three other things when we get to middle school
okay.
and high school, and we have to prepare them. We have to be participating in those discussions when they're in preschool and elementary school so they can come to us,
right.
so they feel comfortable telling us about whatever it is they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would be the one to say this. You know, when they're ready to begin to explore, I want them to be able to come to their parents, and if it can't be their parents, I want there to be another trusted adult,
yes,
auntie,
yes.
uncle, grandpa, grandma, who they
mm-hmm.
can go to and sit down and be open with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always talk about creating community. We have to be able to have that. If they can't come to the parent because the parent has some values or even behaviors that make it difficult for the child to explore some of these issues,
mm-hmm.
then they need to have someone, and we don't want it to be another 14-year-old, or 13-year-old,
oh,
goodness, or 15-year-old,
no.
or 18-year-old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, my child has a very small circle of trusted adults
mm-hmm.
in her life, and we can, and sometimes I go over that list with her, even when she doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you can't talk to me about it,
mm-hmm.
you feel comfortable calling X, Y, Z, whoever those folks are, but that very small circle, because these are people whose values are similar to ours
mm-hmm.
and to mine. And first of all, they've been put on notice that they're on that list,
mm-hmm.
and they care about my child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to provide her with information that's going to be helpful, and it's going to be affirming
mm-hmm.
To her. And so we don't have to have a whole list of folks,
mm-hmm.
but you need to have somebody, because
certainly.
sometimes they can't talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
They're not comfortable.
Yeah,
even
because
if
they're
the
not.
Parent is comfortable, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and so all of the issues that they're dealing with, drinking and drugs and making friends that count.
Yes.
Friends that are clearly friends.
Exactly,
right?
And what's the difference between friends and acquaintances
and
all that.
Understanding that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their academic expectations they're managing. And then romantic relationships that just gets lumped on top of that. Right? How do you explain that? What does it mean to make friends? I've been having this discussion half of the semester around romantic relationships. Play dates are over, right?
Yes.
Where do you begin to make that that change? You know, they're making the transition. They're making the transition from middle school to high school. You know, when they're eighth graders, they're the top dogs. They
mm-hmm.
are it. And then they're the wimps now. They're
exactly.
back at the bottom
at
of the
heap. At the bottom of the food chain.
Right. And so how do you begin to think about how they explore friendships? You have seniors who you know, senior boys or girls.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out senior girls will date you know, freshman boys. Who knew?
Oh, my.
Because that wasn't a thing.
I
in
know.
College years.
That was
but
upon
how
upon.
Okay. So how they begin to explore those, what does it mean when an 11th grader walks up and says, you know, you're cute?
Well, it's major day, first of all. But yeah, how do you process that?
Right?
She suddenly becomes famous. That's what, it all depends on who the senior of the 11th grader is.
Okay.
It all depends, right?
Okay.
Right.
So how do you, just like drinking or drugs, how do you begin to have those discussions? And we have a few more minutes, so I'd like us to share a couple of just our struggles and some of our achievements as it relates to having those discussions with our own kids.
All right, I'll let you go first.
And so I've been really, really conscientious about developing being that parent that all the kids can come to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I can be serious in most of my life, right, in most aspects of my life. But when it comes to the young people, the kids, the friends that I am my child is engaging with, I once a month do something with all of them. Right, and I'm not their friend, and they're clear about that, but I ask questions. So who's the cute guy at school?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you crushing on? Who do you think is cute? Are you dating? Is your friend best friend dating? Because, right?
Yes.
Who is she dating? Why is she dating? Dr. Anish Yarber Allen did this really wonderful thing with me about 4 years ago around, getting all up in the air about children saying they wanted a boyfriend or girlfriend. And she said, I think my baby was in the fourth or fifth grade and everybody had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to faint. I don't know what I'm going to do. And she said, what do you mean? She said, okay, they have a boyfriend. What are they going to do? They don't drive. Everywhere they go, you have to take them.
They ain't got no money.
They have no money. elementary schools are limited in terms of how they move around. So what? Let them say that. What you need to do is begin to ask, what do you like about him? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what that did was it allowed me to help my child and a few of her friends to develop a standard.
Yes.
So that they weren't all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the boys who ask to go to the homecoming who don't meet that standard get a solid no. But at least they know what it is they like.
Exactly.
Right? And so when you talk about girls knowing, that article talking about knowing what their pleasure principles
mm-hmm.
are,
right.
What they're attracted to, they begin to establish that around the fifth or sixth grade. So because Dr. Yarber Allen said, look, begin the discussions. This is a perfect place to begin to talk about what is it that you like about them?
Mm-hmm.
What are the characteristics that are attractive to you? Not just because he's a popular boy. That's not enough,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be about something that supports who you are, uplifts who you are. So they were able to identify some characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
So it was important. And so I played that role with all of them. So
mm-hmm.
when your child comes, I'm asking questions.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And I've learned from you also, which is something I'd done in the past, but listening to them while they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we ask the questions. We engage them along the same lines that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you shared that with me from Dr. Yarber Blay, and I have used that with my own child. But I listen to what they're talking about. Now, I'm not talking about snooping, standing outside the bedroom door,
mm-hmm.
although I won't say that's off limits. I will not confirm nor deny that I've ever done that. But I am listening, and I'm not interrupting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not offering my opinion about things, because they'll tell you things if you listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever my child approaches me to have a conversation, I will, more times than not, do my best to stop what I'm doing and turn myself towards her to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they only give you one chance.
Exactly.
Okay?
My daughter did that to me this morning.
Mm.
She was talking, and I was trying to make a turn, and she said, never mind.
Oh, my goodness. Don't you hate it when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to turn myself, whatever I'm doing, I stop it. I turn towards, I try to engage with my eyes and my body language to say, this is important. I'm listening. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't finish it all at that moment, then we decide when we can follow up. Can you believe 30 minutes is gone already?
I cannot. This has been awesome. You
it
all,
has been.
We appreciate your joining us. Hey, Ronald. Hey, bye. And all the other folks that we missed because we were so engaged. But we thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams. Listen anytime on blogtalkradio.com/Mommy Chronicles. Do you have a show idea you'd like to share with us? Well, send it to us on Facebook, on Twitter, or email it to mommychronicles2014@gmail.com. The Mommy Chronicles, your partners in raising phenomenal children.